Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you made that sacrifice that made it possible for us to be here, for us to come to you, for us to be able to even think about living the lives that you would have us to live. It's because of your mercy that you showed us from the beginning and every day. Your mercy is written throughout the scripture. People look at it and see judgment, but if you look again, you'll see mercy.
Amen.
Just thank you, Lord, for your abundant mercy that you have given to us. And I just once again prevail upon that mercy as we go forward, as we open your word today. Hear what you would have to say to us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I was looking through the scripture a couple weeks ago, actually, as I was preparing for last week, and I ran across this passage of scripture, and I just love God's word. I love the fact that you can read it over and over and over again. It doesn't matter how many times you read it. One day you'll pick it up, and that same thing that you read 25 times before will just jump off the page and get you.
Yes, that's right.
It's like, you know, we make comparisons to spiritual food. Sometimes we talk about our spirit feeding on our spirit, the word, the way we feed on physical food. I feel like the Lord just slapped a big old juicy steak on my plate.
Amen.
I know us, we can relate to that, right?
Yes, I do.
How many of us, when we get something new, some new gadget or appliance or whatever it is, you know, it comes with an instruction manual. And how many of us actually look at the instruction manual?
Never did.
Yeah, some people do. Now, Linda's one of those who will always look at the instructions. And she will follow them to the T. I'll say, beloved, you know, they just put that in there to cover themselves. She said, that's what it says. That's the way we're going to do it. And I tend to be the one who reads the instructions if I have to.
Right.
But sometimes wouldn't it be nice if we had an instruction manual for life?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we didn't. We do have an instruction manual for life. And yeah, sometimes it's hard to read. Sometimes it's hard to apply to specific situations. But God gave us that in His mercy. He gave us an instruction manual. Not only that, though, in this passage, it sort of feels like He gave us a quick start guide. You know, that little piece of paper that you pull out, you know, just the high level stuff that you have to do. If you just can't wait, here's what you do. I feel like the Lord sort of gave that to us in this passage. This is from 2 Peter chapter 1. And it's the second letter that Peter wrote to the Gentiles who were living in what is today modern day Turkey. There are some scholars that'll dispute the authorship, because there's always people trying to dispute the authorship because it takes away from the credibility of God's word. But it, you know, if it says right at the beginning that it's Peter that wrote it, I'm going to believe it's Peter that wrote it. And there's as much, part of the argument is the style is not the same as his first letter, but the style is appropriate to the content. And some of Paul's letters that are not disputed in any way have the same kind of variation, because it has to do with what it is that he's trying to, the subject matter that he's trying to deal with. It was probably near the end of his life. It might have been written from prison in Rome, shortly before he was martyred by the Emperor Nero. And of course, tradition says that Peter was crucified upside down. We don't know if that's the way it happened or not, but he said, supposed to have said, I'm not worthy to be crucified by my Lord.
Oh,
wow. He wrote this letter to combat the false teachers that were coming in. And So in the beginning, he gives us this wonderful little outline of the for Christian living. So I'm going to read today. I'm going to start in verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lusts. Now for this very reason also, apply all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they will render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. What a statement. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be abundantly supplied to you. Amen.
Amen.
It was that verse 10 that really caught my attention as I was reading through for some other purpose. I don't remember now why I was looking there. But it said, you practice these things, you will never stumble. I'm like, wait, what? I stumble a lot, so what are you telling me? Linda talked about that sanctification process, right? We're working on it. This is our goal. Peter sort of gives us a progression here of how to build, how to move toward that goal of not stumbling. He says, grace and peace be to you through Jesus. And that's a fairly common greeting that you see in a lot of the apostolic writings. But it's the grace that comes as we grow in the knowledge, as we come to know him even better. We grow to know him more. Salvation is by his power. Verses 3 and 4 talks about that. He says, he gave us everything we needed. He gave us everything we needed to choose life. He gave us everything we needed to be godly. It's already given to us. And it is through knowing him. It's by his glory. And when you study this, I really would like to do some more study on this. I haven't thoroughly understood everything that's involved. But by his glory, if you read in the book of John, some of the things that he says, even as he's praying, his glory is in what he did. His glory is in his giving. His glory is in his sacrifice.
Amen.
So by his glory, bound to his grace and his sacrifice, he has given this to us. It's because of his excellence. His one translation said honor. in that context. But his purity, his perfection, out of that he's given to us. And it's because of who he is. Not who we are, because of who he is.
That's right.
But by this he's given us his promises. We have received, it says, we're partakers in the divine nature. That's why it just drives me crazy. That's one, whatever Bible version you prefer, it's probably just fine. There's really not enough variation for unless you get into the cult and translations. There's not enough variation for me to say, well, you shouldn't use that version. But the ones who put in sinful nature, where it should be translated flesh, really bother me. Because you have received the divine nature. Don't you dare call that a sinful nature. And you'll still struggle with your flesh, but that's not the same thing. You have God's nature. Your nature is not sinful. So don't think of yourself that way. Are you going to sin? Yes, we're all going to sin. But we go to the Lord and repent. He forgives us. But don't call yourself a sinner. God saved you. You're not a sinner anymore. Yeah, you're still going to sin, but you are not a sinner. You were a sinner, but you got changed. You got transformed. You became a new creation in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And we've been given, when those challenges come to us, when those temptations come to us, we've been given that means to escape. He says we escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now we have a very specific thing when we think about lust, and that is the sense of that in this passage, but it can be expanded, because really all lust is selfishness,
right,
taken to that extreme.
Amen.
It's all about us. It's all about having what we want. What we want becomes more important than the consequences or what we might be doing to somebody else to get it. And that is the corruption that has corrupted the world and taken it away from what the Lord meant for it to be. But he says, because of this, because of what God has done for you, be diligent. And then he gives us this list. In your faith. Your faith is where it all begins. When we make that decision, when we come to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, when we come to believe that Jesus paid for our sins on that cross, when we say to him, you are my God, you are my Lord, I commit my life to you. And whatever words, those words that you use, it doesn't matter, it matters what's in your heart. When we ask for his forgiveness,
amen,
he supplied for us the power, and he supplied for us the motivation that then begins to change our life and allows us to go forward and begin to pursue these virtues that he listed here, that Peter listed here. We act out of what we really believe. That's the truth of the matter, isn't it? We act out of what we really believe. He says, okay, now you believe. Begin to apply it. Apply it in your faith, moral excellence. We believe in him, and then we believe that what he says is true, and we trust that his way is the best. And so we begin to try to live that way. And part of learning to live that way is to study what he has said, to understand what he's already told us. And so we grow in knowledge. And so we add to this desire, this uprightness, we add knowledge as we learn. We learn more about him, and we come to know him personally in a deeper and deeper way. Our desire to follow him leads us to learn more, and it draws us into his presence.
Amen.
Out of that comes self-control. We restrain ourselves for one thing. There's another verse, and I meant to go get it, and I didn't go get it, but it says knowledge, if you read the Old King James, it says knowledge puffs up. sometimes we get a little bit too confident in our knowledge, and we get some pride. But we restrain ourselves from that. We realize that everything we have came from Him.
That's right.
And we learn, as we draw closer, we learn to rule our flesh and not allow it to have control over us. And so by that, we learn perseverance. Self-control is not easy. Just watch little children. And you can probably think back to to what it was like. When you knew you weren't supposed to have something or do something, they did some tests with little kids, and they would put with marshmallows, if I remember correctly. And they would put a marshmallow on a plate, and they'd leave the kid in there and say, if you wait, you can have two marshmallows. If you have it now, you can have the one, but if you wait, you'll have the two. You can have two instead of one. Some little kids could wait, some little kids couldn't wait. That one was just too tempting. But we have to learn that self-restraint. It doesn't come naturally to us. But as we draw closer to the Lord, as we come to know more about Him, it becomes a little bit easier. And then the tests get a little harder. We get beyond marshmallows, or some of us do, I don't know. Some of us maybe not. But we get beyond the marshmallows, we start having to say, hold back from saying what wants to come out of our mouths when somebody says something to us that we don't like. Or when it would be fun to jump on the bandwagon, and I struggle with this sometimes. Sometimes it's tempting to jump on the bandwagon. Somebody's saying something and you really kind of agree with it, but it's really not something you should be talking about. Mm-hmm. That's where that self-restraint comes in. Because you know what, I know, Lord, I know you, and I know that's not how you would want me to be. So I need to hold it. I need to control myself. And over time, the urges change, the urge wanes. And we become more godly. Godliness. To be like God. Now when I say that, I don't mean like the devil thought he was going to be equal with God. That's not what I mean. But we become like Him in that we come to know His heart, and we begin to want what He wants. We begin to do what He does, and that way become more godly, more devoted to Him. We learn to hate what He hates, and what He hates are the things that hurt us, are the things that are evil because they do harm, because they disrupt His natural order of things, and because whenever you use something, we talked about this the other week, whenever we use something for an intent that it was not designed for, chances are things are going to go wrong. So we learn to hate what He hates because He hates the things that destroy us. And we learn to love what He loves because we learn to love His people, and we learn to love Him. And we want to be pleasing to Him. And so we move to brotherly kindness. And your translation may have different things there, but this is, it's the word Philadelphia. It's the familial kind of love that we are supposed to have for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. And then we move from that into the agape love, the gift love. And Peter would know the difference. You remember, as he is being restored by Jesus, he asks him three times, if you've seen this, the study on how the different words that were used there, Jesus asked him first two times, do you love me? He used the word that is got translated into the Greek, agape. Which is that godly love, that self-giving love. And Peter responds back with the phileo love. So Jesus, the third time, and that's why Peter's grieved. Jesus asks him the third time, all right, you love me that way? Still, my mission for you hasn't changed. You go feed my sheep. But that giving love, you know, if they try hard enough, even our blood relatives can cause us to have a hard time retaining that kind of love that we ought to have for them. Isn't that right?
Amen.
But when we have the kind of love that God has for us, no matter how unlovable we act, He still loves us. When we learn to have that love for each other, then we've moved into that kind of, that agape love, that love that God told us to have.
Amen.
For Him and for each other. So, Peter says in verse 8, as you grow in these things, you're going to be useful to God, not useless. We talked about how we can know that we're being used by God last week. And when you have these qualities, you'll be useful to God.
Mm-hmm.
He says you'll not be useless. He says you'll be fruitful. He says you won't be unfruitful. You'll be, so that if you're not unfruitful, you're fruitful, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. You're producing good fruit. And this is His will for you. Jesus said, "My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." So that's in John 15:8. And I guarantee you will. God, if you're really doing these things, if you're really moving this way in your life, it's going to show. Others are going to see it, even if sometimes you don't. Know that. Trust in that. Trust that God's word is true and what He said is true. You'll come to know Him better. And again, He repeats in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then He offers a warning. He says, if you lack these qualities, you're blind or short-sighted. What happens when you're blind and short-sighted? You trip over stuff. I ought to know. But we're not able to see the truth clearly. And you remember this letter, he's going to address false teaching. And when we're not able to see the truth, then it's easy for a false teacher to come in and tell us lies, and then we believe them. They look good on the surface, so we buy into them. And we then have given Satan an opportunity to come in. And to deceive us. And he says he has forgotten the purification. He's forgotten what God did.
Right.
And when we forget what God has done for us, then we fall back into those same old patterns, all those old fleshly patterns that we had. And we lose our joy. And not only that, we open ourselves up to suffer the consequences of not doing things God's way.
Mm-hmm.
And God doesn't want you to suffer those consequences. He doesn't.
Mm-mm.
He doesn't delight in it. But these are our goals. And he says, this is how you know, verse 10. It says, this is how we know that we belong to Him. And these practices mark the Christian life. And so diligently pursue them. In other words, by choice. This stuff doesn't happen by osmosis. You can't just sit around. Don't misunderstand me. Fill your head with good things. Always have good things around you. Always have the truth around you. Because what you put in your head will come out. But make the choice. Diligently pursue. He said this twice now. He said it at the beginning and he said it here at the end. Make an effort. What is it that we try to teach our kids? Be diligent. Apply yourself. Do it right. Your spiritual health doesn't happen any more than your physical health. Your spiritual health doesn't happen by doing nothing any more than your physical health will improve if all you do is sit on the couch and eat donuts. is that if you practice these things, they open the door to the abundant blessings of His kingdom.
Amen.
Yeah, possibly even blessings here, definitely rewards in heaven to come. So as we apply these things to our lives, here's your quick start guide. He gave us everything that we need. If we'll just believe what He says, avoid those things that He says to avoid, which he gave us for our protection. Do a lust check. In other words, why do I want this? Who's it for? Is it all about me? Then I need to be reevaluating what I'm doing. That our faith will lead to practice, which will lead to understanding, which will lead to self-control, which will lead to endurance, which will lead to loving our brothers and sisters like family, which will lead to the godly giving love that He means for us to have. And if you'll practice these things, He said you will never stumble. So that's our goal.
Amen.
In practice, it's really not anything different than we say all the time. Study the Word, listen, pray, and then do what He said.
Amen.
And wrap it all in love. Paul said, without love, I can do all this stuff. It won't mean nothing.
Yeah.
So thank you. Thank you so much for the fact that you've given us your word, that you have provided us a way. If all you ever did for us was what you did on the cross, that's hardly an all. That's an everything right there.
Mm-hmm.
But it wouldn't have been as effective if you hadn't also made a way for us to know about it. That's part of it too. So you made sure that we know about it. You made sure that you provided your word. You provided people to explain and to show us what it looks like. And you've given us that job too. You've made us ambassadors to the rest of the world. So I pray, Lord, that you will help us as individuals and as a church fulfill that great commission to go forward and make disciples of all men. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
To that end, actually, I want to share something with you that is perhaps a little premature, but it's something that has been on my heart, and I would like to put it out there. But we have time together each week. We have this 2.5 hours together. And it's all we got because it's so hard for us to get everybody here. And so I would like for us to do something a little different. What we're going to start doing is during the Sunday school time. Now sometimes we'll have a lesson. I know Linda still desires to teach her lessons. We'll let her do that. Sometimes Priscilla might have something specific that the Lord gave her and she wants to share it. Well, she's free to do that. But I want you to be on notice. We would like for you to be able to bring the things that God has shown you through the week, results of your own study, results of your own prayer, something that God did for you, something that God showed you. We want to open up that Sunday school time so that you always have the opportunity, and where in fact there is an expectation that you'll have something to contribute to the rest of the body, to bless us with what God has blessed you with.
Amen.
And I don't know exactly how that's going to work out over time, but that's the desire, that we have this time to share, and everybody involved, everybody has something to contribute, all be able to build each other up with the little time that we have together. So I'm asking for your help in that, to be prepared, to be ready. God shows you something, make a note of it, and be ready to share it when we all come together. Won't necessarily be every week that we'll have that that open forum, but that's something that, we want to see more of. And I'm going to get out of the way now and let us have an opportunity for prayer, anybody that needs prayer.
Before we close